This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It is Beltway Blitz time here on Grant and Danny. We'll tell you what's going on in the world of DC sports and a little bit beyond as well, all in one segment. It's how we do it every day at 4 p.m. Steve Zabin sitting in for GP. I'm Danny Ruye. This is Grant and Danny. Let's start in the world, please, Darius, of college football. Matt Newman's VSiN College Football joins us to break down some of these college foosball games. Get us going with tomorrow night's matchup. What do you see and how's it going to go?
You're talking about Miami, Ohio State, I assume.
I am indeed.
The Cotton Bowl. Ohio State's hanging around 9.5-point favorite right now. 10 has been out there. I'm going to play Miami plus 10 in this game. Ohio State's defense, number one in the nation in scoring, 8.2 points a game. And this is probably going to be a really low-scoring game. I don't think it's going to be highly entertaining like Bears 49ers on Sunday night or anything like that. Total's 41.5. Might want to look under. Miami defense forced three turnovers, held Texas A&M to 89 yards rushing in that 10-3 road win in the first round. Mark Fletcher ran for 172 yards in that game for the Hurricanes, and I think he'll probably get a bit neutralized by this Ohio State defense. So it's probably going to be a tight, low-scoring game. I think the Canes are going to have a shot to pull the upset here. I felt like Ohio State's been a bit overrated in the betting market the entire season, so I'm playing Miami plus 10.
How non-awful does Carson Beck need to be to pull off the upset?
Yeah, Carson Beck did not do much in the game at Texas A&M. I think he had 103 yards passing. That was a very limited game plan there. I would say if Beck just does not make big mistakes here, that's basically what the Hurricanes need from him. So I think you phrased that question the right way. Just don't make the big mistakes. You don't have to make many big plays against this Ohio State defense. Don't screw it up.
So let's start with noon, New Year's Day, Oregon, Texas Tech. How do you see that matchup?
I see it as a coin flip, to be honest. I bet Oregon at 8-1 to win the college football playoff. I'm a little bit concerned about the Ducks' defense. So some holes you could see in that James Madison game in the first round. But I do like Dante Moore, the quarterback for the Ducks. And I want to see him play like a superstar, like a top five NFL draft pick, like he's being touted. And he's got the ability to do that. And I think the Ducks, more dynamic on offense, they definitely have more big play capability. Texas Tech's stronger on the offensive and defensive lines, and that defense is nasty. It's legit. I don't have a bet on this game. I just have Oregon to win the whole thing at 8-1. I think this is genuinely a coin flip type of game, and I'm not going to play it. But I can tell you the sharper money in the betting market is on Oregon.
Indiana, Alabama, imagine waking up from a long coma to see this matchup and scratch your head seeing that Indiana is the one seed and they're favored by 7. How much of Alabama's stumbling start would spook you if you believe that the Tide have it in them to knock off the top seed?
I don't think the Tide have it in them to knock off the top seed. I think this is a pedestrian Alabama team, and the Tide's inability to run the ball is going to get exposed big time here, like it did against Georgia in that 28-7 loss in the SEC championship game. Oklahoma imploded for the most part and allowed Alabama to make the comeback and win that game in the first round of the college football playoff. Indiana's not going to do that. Indiana's tied for the best turnover differential in college football this season because Kurt Cignetti has a disciplined team. Forces turnovers and doesn't make mistakes. Indiana's also got some big-time playmakers. It's just that people don't know about their wide receivers, Cooper and Surratt, and running back Hemby. They're not hyped up like Ohio State's playmakers. It's ask how many people who follow college football, if they can name any Indiana players aside from Fernando Mendoza, and if they know anybody else on the team aside from Mendoza and Kurt Cignetti, and the answer is probably no. But this Indiana team is legit, and it's got the number two scoring defense in college football, 10.8 points a game. You're right about that. I think a lot of people look at this and say, man, considering the history and reputation of these programs, it's odd seeing Indiana as a 7-point favorite. But I think the number here is legit. Hey, the Hoosiers held Ohio State to 58 rushing yards, pitched a scoreless second half in the Big Ten title game, won that 13-10. I believe in Kurt Cignetti. I think he's a Nick Saban clone. He was obviously on Nick Saban's original staff at Alabama in 2007. The way he coaches, the way he talks, he reminds me so much of Saban. And like I said, Ty Simpson, the Alabama quarterback, is going to have to carry a heavy burden in this game because the Tide can't run the ball. And that's going to make this offense one-dimensional. It's supposed to be a rare rainy day in Pasadena. Mm. I know we're used to tuning in, seeing the sun and the San Gabriel Mountains and that picturesque setting, but it's going to be a dismal rainy day. And I think that also helps Indiana. I'm playing Indiana here as a 7-point favorite, and I think the Hoosiers are going to win by double digits.
Matt, thank you, buddy. Enjoy these games and have a happy new year.
Okay, you bet. You too.
Appreciate you. There you go. Hit that NFL sounder, Darius. Our pal, Mike Jones, the Athletic, joins us to talk about the National Football League. Mike, how much smoke? How real is this LeVar Ravens spat? Is it just kind of the normal noise when a season isn't going that great, or is there maybe more to it in your view?
It feels like there's something more to it. It's odd because, you know, we didn't hear any of these problems. There was no complaints of any of this stuff when they were winning games, even when they were on their 5-game win streak after they started 1-5. It wasn't an issue. But now as the season is on the ropes, it came out. And then there's also some, you know, things about Harbaugh too. So I guess it's just kind of stuff that goes on when the season's going south. But this is normally one of the more stable franchises, and they don't have this type of stuff. If it was the old Redskins, yeah, it'd be like par for the course, but this isn't normal Ravens type of stuff. So I kind of feel like maybe there's a little more smoke to this than just, you know, something to shrug off.
Let's say Seattle wins and they're the one seed. Pick your poison of the next three in the NFC, the Rams, the Bears, and then the Eagles. How would you rank them in terms of these are the toughest outs? Of those three, who's the toughest out and who's the easiest out?
I think the Rams are probably the toughest. I mean, they can come at you. I mean, they hurt themselves last night.
Yes.
You know, that was, you know, I don't know if it was looking past an opponent or what, but, you know, Matthew Stafford, even during warm-ups, he had some throws he didn't quite look right. He was a little off. So I guess that was an off day. But they are a tough team. They can beat you running the ball, throwing the ball. I mean, it's just whatever way they want to attack you. So they're the number one toughest out after that. I got to go with the Eagles just because of their experience and their potential to do well, even though the Eagles kind of can't get out of their own way. The fact that the Bears have not been there before and everything really ratchets up in intensity.
Yeah.
I think that, experience seems to help teams. And so that's why I put the Bears as the number three.
I feel like in the AFC, the Texans, Chargers, and Bills, if I, you know, using Zabe's coma analogy, if I go into a coma and wake up in a month, I could absolutely see one of those three teams in the AFC Championship game or even representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I think anybody could make a run here among those lower seeds. A, is that crazy? But B, how likely do you think that is that one of these teams at the back end upsets some of these neophytes that haven't really done this, thinking of a Denver, New England, et cetera?
Texans and Bills, yes. Chargers, I don't think so. I think that they're too banged up along their offensive line. Justin Herbert's banged up. I just don't think they have enough in them to be able to go on a deep run. But the Texans with that defense and also the potential they have to be pretty electric on offense as well, but the defense for sure is a championship caliber defense. And the Bills have Josh Allen, and so you know, he can put a team on his back and he can score, you know, 48 points to compensate for his defense giving up 42 points. And so I think that anything's possible for the Bills.
A massive Stephon Diggs wild card got thrown on the table this afternoon. He has been charged with felony strangulation and a misdemeanor assault in an incident that occurred on December 2nd. He denies categorically the charges. The team says they're aware of it, but as of right now, Mike Jones, I've not seen anything that says he has been put in the once vaunted NFL parking lot of suspension. Will that happen? And if not, has the league changed their sort of thinking on this?
Well, I mean, I think that it's something that they're still getting information on. They are trying to avoid a snap judgment and punishing him, you know, for something that could be unfounded.
Sure.
So they have tried to start being more patient before they hand out these punishments.
Does it mean that he may play through the playoffs while they, quote, gather information?
Yeah, it's definitely very possible that it could they could go through the playoffs. You know, it just depends on how quickly it takes for this investigation and all the information to come out.
Mike, thank you as always, buddy. Appreciate you and have a great New Year.
All right, see you guys.
See you, my friend. Hit that Local 53 sounder, please. Proud Nikki Javala, also The Athletic, who covers the Washington Foosball, gentlemen. Nikki, what's on the line this weekend? I mean, it's kind of nebulous, it's open-ended, but Philadelphia's got maybe something to play for if they want the two-seed or not. They probably could use playing some good football. Kind of what's on the line from Washington's side?
Yeah, proving that they can play decently, play competitively for guys that are sort of on the bubble or, you know, really trying to prove themselves for next year. This is one of the last tryouts, so to speak. It's honestly a little like preseason.
As far as the quarterback goes, is it Mariota? Do we know yet?
I would kind of be surprised if it's Mariota. You know, he did have 7 stitches in his right hand, his throwing hand. I would expect to see Josh Johnson out there, but we'll see how the week goes.
My frustration, and these are small little things, and a bunch of them add up, and then you get a 4-12 season on the borderline of 4-13, Nikki. But I really like Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
Bill.
There we go. I talk for a living.
Bill is so much easier.
It is. Thank you for saying that. Bill with the football in his hands. You could see that explosion. He was bottled up most of the day, but then a 75-yarder kind of changes it. They don't seem interested or able to get him the ball in the passing game in space. It's just not part of their offense, and I wish it was. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think it is part of their offense. I just don't know if they have the right personnel to do it. I mean, I've been wondering the same thing. Why can't you get him out in space more? Why can't you, you know, get more Debo out there? But I think that's what they ultimately would like to do. We'll see if they get him more involved this week, but yeah, I'm with you on that. I wish we had seen more of that. I wish we could see more of that.
Nikki, do you know how many pounds Danny gained over Christmas week?
Why?
Just
you're
felt
supposed
like she
to gain weight on Christmas.
Do you know how many pounds though specifically?
I don't. Double digits?
It's not good. Over 9 days, he's indulging in this a little too much. He's having a little too much.
I feel like you should disclose this.
Well, that's fair. Well, Nikki, I think she's going to think a little less of me, but
I doubt it.
There's more of me to think about. Nikki, I gained 16.5 pounds in 9 days.
that's fantastic. I would love to do that. Actually, I kind of do that. I do that every season, and then I got to lose it in the off season so I can regain it during the season.
There you go.
I must be in season year round. I can't stop.
Elite.
Food is
gastro athlete.
Good, and it's undefeated. Every single time.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Good for you. I'm happy for you. You
like
and
that.
Food are one.
I love that.
Certainly. They're all the portions were mine. One more couple sets of roster questions here. For Ben Sinnott, I always ask because I care so much about it. I know most people think kind of the ship has sailed, et cetera. Just his future, his role. What can we see maybe
you
these
want
last couple
Sinnott
weeks?
Targets.
I want a handful of targets. I would just like to see. I think they've kind of made their decision, it seems like, and we might have to go a different direction there. But I'm still curious because I don't have the data that maybe they already do because they see him every day in practice, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've kind of all been wondering, too. Sorry, I've been sick all week, so I have a cough constantly.
Oh, good.
That's all right.
Oh, mercy.
But, you know, they keep saying we want to get him the ball more, and for the longest time it was because Zach Gertz was out there, and he's getting the lion's share of, you know, the targets as a tight end. But we've still only seen, like, maybe one or two catches from him, that 52-yarder, I think it was. But that's been about it. So, you know, I'm kind of with you. I feel like that says more than what they're actually saying.
Nikki, you're the best. Really appreciate it. Feel better. Have a great New Year.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. There she goes. That is Nikki Javala. And that, folks, is how we do the Beltway Blitz. Coming up, our friend and colleague, Tom Lavero, wrote a column that kind of got me into a bit of a thought process. Dan Quinn always talks about getting into that space. I'm in a space. I'll ask you guys in a moment something we haven't really thought about or talked about much. because the season has been going on, the business of football, the week-to-week kind of rhythms of it. As we wind down a terrible football season, win, lose, or draw this weekend, I'm wondering, what do we think about the owners? Has the honeymoon period ended?
Oh, boy.
Is the bloom off the old rose?
Oh, my God.
I want to ask you guys that when we come back next on G&D.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
None of these guys were alive, Zabe, when this song came out.
I mean, it doesn't mean they can't enjoy it right now. I mean, Darius played it, so that's good.
Yeah, Darius knows. Ryan is hoping I don't look at him. Wesley is 11. So, you know, he gets people out of timeshares as Wesley Financial. He's not a lawyer. He doesn't want people to think he's a lawyer, but he hates your timeshare and wants you to get out of it. But none of these guys have any clue. Welcome back. It's Genie on the Fan. Zabe in.
Do you want to give him an education while we're here on the song?
No, it'll take too long.
It's hard to describe. It's hard to even explain why it was such a mind-blowing thing.
Yeah.
Culturally, musically.
Well, he'll be bewildered that you can hear and understand the words.
Right.
So yes. What do you mean? No one's going, yeah. For the first minute and a half of the song, it's like on a Casio keyboard with a tambourine kit.
They didn't even have auto-tune back in the day. You had to actually hit the notes.
That's bizarre.
Yes.
Don't get weird on me. Our friend and colleague, Tom, and by the way, Bill joins the show at 5, 30 minutes from right now. We will speak to the people's running back. Here is the summary of Tom Lavero's column from his Twitter account. Shout out JP Finley. His tweet was, "The Commanders party is over. A fractured fan base hates your stadium, your name, and now, with an unfortunately familiar lost season, your product. Happy holidays." Old Tommy, a little bit of, there was blood on the pen from the column.
Yeah, they hate the name, they hate the stadium. It's terrible.
And he's right about it on all counts, by the way.
I love Tommy, worked with him for many a year. Nobody digs into ownership in this town of sports franchises quite like Tom. He has been at war with all of them.
Everybody, at least once, right?
And, or, you know, over some of the most incredible things. Like, he was going full-blown World War III with Ted over lack of a parking pass at Wizards games. And I'm just like, really, Tom? And, you know, he had his reasons for it. He's not wrong in this column. He hits on all the right notes. Now, I know I'm speaking to a guy like you who hates this new
name. I've been very open about that.
Thank you for that, by the way. I hate it as well. I also think that the current half rebrand and the potential of the Super Bowl era jerseys becoming a more regular kit next year, I'm in the minority. I think that's a mistake. I don't like it. I think that if you're going to go in a direction, go in that direction. This swimming back and trying to borrow a little bit from the past, and it's almost like it was, but it's not.
Right.
You can't get over the taco holder on the helmet with the satin finish helmet that doesn't match the actual burgundy of your throwbacks. It's an aesthetic mess, if you ask me. But that's one man's opinion who still yearns and pines for the old name and the old logo, which I've been told angrily is never coming back. And I say, really? You sure? Never? I mean, stranger things have happened. I just don't know if the owners really wanted to commit the kind of PR capital to go, you know what?
I don't think they do.
But I'm just play it out.
Right.
Let's say they were like, you know what? Times have changed. It's coming back. What are you going to do about it? What would the league do about it? What would sponsors do about it? How much would the media want to keep up for that? Oh, my God, I can't believe you're doing it. You know, Mike Wise is no longer on planet Earth or in the media in this town to take this up as his cause celeb. He was had a big position, columnist for the Washington Post, and was on this station. And it was on our station at times as well. And he was huge on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So he gone. Times have changed. What would happen? Would the league just shut it down? Would they just say, no, you can't? Would the sponsors flee?
I think so.
Would the media lose their minds?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then it's not coming back.
I think all three of those.
Okay.
The triumphant there, the Triforce.
So then, I'm sorry to say, but you better lead into the new reality. You better lean into the name and the new logo, and these half throwbacks are not doing anyone any good.
So last year, we talked about this to a degree, and you could weigh in as well before we get to kind of the meat and potatoes of Lavero's comment, where I want to get into with it. Their success closed the door in a lot of ways. If Jaden Daniels doesn't
on
have
a
the number,
swim back yeah. to the old?
Well, not to the old, but something else.
Okay.
So people like me, I am not a Redskins or nothing person. What I'd prefer is irrelevant, just sort of saying in general.
For the record, what names finished second and third on the podium to Commanders?
Yeah, it wasn't Sea Dogs like with the stupid Wizards.
I know. That's historically one of the dumbest things ever. But do we know if there was a runner-up or a third-place finisher?
They were so vague about this. With their entire saga. So remember, the name that was the leader in the clubhouse that everybody seemed to be getting, not everybody, but a huge percentage of people were
Red
excited
Wolves.
About it was Red Wolves.
Yeah.
They actually stopped.
Smoot was big on that.
Well, they actually stopped the entire
process
to go, the Timberwolves are mean. It might cost some money. And that, to me, gave away that this was A, predetermined,
yeah.
B, a farce,
yeah.
and C, just another Snyder poo in the punch bowl.
I thought there was another team that was also going to block. Like, was Warriors considered seriously?
I think that was on one of the lists. Yeah,
okay.
But there was there was some saying, hey, that may not work. But Red Wolves versus Timberwolves, that's not the same thing. I understand there's Wolves involved in both, but something I feel like we're, as an NFL team with all the billions, we could probably make that happen if we wanted to. There was no desire to do so. They were going to do this. We're going to hide behind sort of something generally military related so no one can make fun of us. And we want all the associations without any of the work. And this was just the laziest, stupidest thing. And everybody that's responsible for it has moved on and worked somewhere else.
That rollout that morning on the Today Show was so bad.
What's up, Craig Melvin? Hey, buddy.
Was so cringe.
We are the Commanders.
Just horrendous. And I like Doug Williams a lot. Put Doug in a bad spot there.
It really did.
Poor John Allen just sitting there for some reason also. Sleep on that.
So I think it's also going to be dangerous to then try to swim to a new rebrand lily pad of, okay, forget Commanders. We're now the Red Hawks.
Or something.
Or the Red Tails.
And that ship, I think, sailed last year.
Because they had success.
A couple different times. So Harris wasn't always saying Commanders. He wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't.
He sort
so
of,
you guys were keen on listening, going, did he say
And he
it?
Wasn't wearing did that Block W gear all the time. It was always something else, you know? But eventually, at the end of the year, when they go 12-5, NFC title game, he's now going, well, that actually, the name means something now. We have the Commander tag on people, and that's something we look for, is the Commander tag. And people like me throw up in our mouths, but I think that was the gavel. That was the slam. That was the end of it.
They are I believe they're the lowest selling merchandise team in the league. I think I saw a list of that.
I haven't seen that. So if you find that, let me know.
Let me look it up. I think
Jaden Daniels was selling like hotcakes. That black Commanders Jaden Daniels jersey was doing very well.
Of course, yeah.
And again, to me, all
I just think, you know, overall quarter zips, hats, the other paraphernalia, mm-hmm. it cannot be out of the bottom five. It's got to be down there. It's just, I don't see a lot of people with it just around town. Or in the stands.
I do now.
Seeing more and more?
See more and more.
Well, that's good.
Because is it? I mean, it is what it is. I think people are begrudgingly going, all right, I guess. Right? I what else can I do?
Dad's gone and he's never coming back, you should stop sitting by the front door waiting for that doorbell to ring and for him to walk back in. They just need to press ahead. You know, we talked a lot about the Ravens today. I mean, they, of course, would have loved to have been the Colts again. But they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, you know, they're now the big, dumb, purple, black birds up there.
They are what they are. Yeah. But to what Lavero wrote.
So Lavero makes a good point about both the rebrand, the state of the franchise, the stadium that's going to be a long way away. And at the end of his column, I'm like, all right, love you. So what are you saying? Like, what did you get from the column at the end of it? Other than just, yes, acknowledged. The name is not that popular. The stadium is going to be a long way away. And?
Here's my summary. So he says, read a couple passages here. What may have gotten lost in all the attention of a Christmas Day 30-23 loss to the Dallas Cowboys at Northwest Stadium was that it was the Washington Commanders Fan Appreciation Day. There were holiday decorations, entertainment, and a meet and greet with the big man himself, Santa Claus. We're a long way away from former Redskins owner George Preston Marshall, used to have Santa arrive in a helicopter at midfield at Griffith Stadium during halftime. The basic gist is, you wouldn't have known it was Fan Appreciation Day. The owners didn't do anything wrong in that regard because it was filled with Cowboy fans. Everybody's disgusted. Everybody's pissed off. It's acknowledging, look over there, there's an elephant in the room. And he said the following. The party's over. The anger over the lost name remains raw. A fractured fan base hates your stadium, your name, and now, with an unfortunately familiar lost season, your product. Happy holidays. Basically, this was the risk you had when you bought this thing for an unbelievable amount of money. Good luck climbing out of it. Because another part of the column mentions another. To me, those are all factual statements.
Right, but does Lovey prescribe what he thinks is the best course of action in his column? I didn't see it.
Not here. I'm the fire spotter. I'm just pointing at the fire. Someone should come in and do something about that. Anyway, you guys have a good one. And I'm not faulting him for that.
But they're like the things with the Cowboy fans invading, you're not going to fix that anytime soon, if ever. Cowboy fans are indigenous to our area. And that's because of the team's long ago, very racist policy of being the last team to integrate in the NFL.
George Preston Marshall, yeah.
Right. And so therefore that allowed Cowboy fans, the dirty, stinking Blue Stars, as the team in the 70s to metastasize throughout our area. And I know many Cowboy fans. I keep my friends close and my Cowboy frenemies even closer, Danny.
So to add to this.
So you're never going to prevent them from invading, especially when your team is not good.
Totally. You can never do 100%, but you can try.
And you're never going to fix that disfigured hulk of a rusting stadium out there. Whereas I look at the carved out upper deck, I just shake my head thinking, as bad as they were under Snyder in the aughts, they sold all those seats. All of the seats that are now gone.
The extra layer to it is, and he points this out in case you forgot, many Commanders fans paid an average of 11% more for this 4-12 debacle of the season, and they're going to pay more next season, nearly 10%.
Rent's
more.
Too damn high. Prices going up.
To put the lipstick on the pig and then eventually move into new and better digs, which we're all looking forward to.
Yes.
So the point is, the state of the state ain't great. We all know that football-wise, we're sort of in the fog of that.
Right.
My question for you guys at 800-636-1067, we'll tackle this next before Bill comes on at 5. Give me your state of the ownership. How are we feeling about ownership at this point? Last year, it was like...
honeymoon.
Let me throw petals at your feet like you're the Prince of Zamunda so you can walk around. Now, disaster of a season, you got charged more. How much better are things? Is the honeymoon over? Is the bloom off the rose? That's what I want to ask. 800-636-1067. It's Grant and Danny Zabin for GP here on The Fan.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Bill, 14 minutes away here on Grant and Danny. Zabe in for GP. Got a lot of calls. Let's get to them. 800-636-1067. The Lovero column kind of got me into this mind frame, Steve, of wondering how people are feeling about ownership. We're so week to week thinking about the quarterback and who's playing and Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. I wonder if the bloom is off the rose a little bit. 800-636-1067. Lance in Woodbridge, how you feeling about ownership? Kind of give me a grade. Just give me a feeling.
Maybe 75%. The last year was like 99 because Snyder's out. By the way, Zabe, love to hear your voice on FM.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Now, I did want to share about their nice guys. I had a client that ran into the whole group of them at Ebbett Grill just over the holidays, and they got up and sang happy birthday to her 101-year-old mom.
Oh, cool.
All right. But, you know, as far as ownership goes, you hear on the radio, on television, they always say managing partner. So I'm like, who is really in charge? What is the, and on the radio station you guys talk about, what is the identity of this team? I don't really know what the identity of our Washington team is, and I would take anything over Commanders. Really.
Listen,
be careful, Lance.
Be careful.
Let's go to Joe in Arlington. Where are you at on ownership?
Yeah, hey, I'm one of those people that's become totally dissociated with the team and really at the NFL, notwithstanding I was a 20-year season ticket holder because I've just lost interest. I believe Harris has been really disingenuous, Snyder-like, really, on the branding. I mean, if you recall, in their press conference, oh, it's Redskins, Redskins this, Redskins that. They let the fan base believe for years that something was going to be done.
They said the word Redskins really, prior to taking ownership? The Harris Group said the word Redskins prior to?
They used to say it all the time.
Really?
Their initial press conference, they kept saying. To my knowledge, the only statement he has really made on the name was when he was walking away from some reporter and he said, oh, it's important in the building that we keep it.
So, and Joe, I appreciate you, buddy. Have a happy holiday. Happy New Year. That's not actually true. So there have been many more statements. He's actually been more definitive talking about Josh Harris and others.
Sound true to me. That's why I was asking.
Right. So no. And we've heard from Joe before, and I'm not ripping him at all. He has said, I don't pay as much attention because he's been dissatisfied with the name and the direction and everything else. I don't begrudge that, by the way. It's your fandom. Do what you want. I used to care a lot more and had to police everything about fans. Like, a true fan does X. It's your opt-in. It's your fandom. I'm not here to lecture anybody anymore. So if you're not as into it, I don't begrudge that. I know a lot of people feel that way.
The new ownership group is going to have to do the most dangerous thing that you have to do as an owner, which is to do something. They've had a vacation so far coming into this. They didn't have to do anything other than draft Daniels, which they hit a home run on, so that's great.
Indeed.
But now you're coming up on the point you're going to have to do something. What that is, I'm sure it varies by people's opinions.
And I fully acknowledge this. I talked about this years ago where, it now seems funny to say in retrospect, I gave Tommy Shepard more of a benefit of the doubt than a lot of people because my view was he was cleaning up a clogged toilet from Ernie Grunfeld. All
bad.
Those years of giving up first-round picks for middling veterans and salary cap hell and not having a real direction and fighting for the eighth seed, and that's our goal. I said, we need to give him some leeway. Now, it turns out, He was raised in that environment.
Yes.
He was Bane Part 2 from Bane's prison. Like he that's all he talked about.
I was born in the dark.
And a wonderful guy, super nice dude, but his philosophies were the same. And I go, okay, enough of that. But my point is, this ownership group inherited, people don't realize how disastrous a situation this was.
Absolutely.
An eroded fan base with a smaller tent, the fracturing over the name is something that nobody else has to deal with. A whole bunch of factors that were working against them.
And a billionaire running for his life.
Yeah.
To try to save his franchise, his supposed boyhood love, the Redskins, which is something that has also been debated about. Did he really love the team? I mean, do we know that? Or did he just love owning the team? I think it was the latter more than he loved the team.
Yeah, and the thing that used to drive me nuts, by the way, as a quick side, is people that were close to him or that were drinking the Kool-Aid would always say, well, he wants to win.
Doesn't matter.
I'd like to win, too. What am I doing about it? Like I'd like to have a six-pack. What have I done? I ate cake.
The want to win can be dangerous if you don't know how to do it. You start doing really counterproductive things.
Yeah, if you wanted to win bad enough, you'd hire a GM once.
You might even sign a guy named Albert Hainsworth, one of the biggest, laziest bags ever, to wear the uniform.
Eli in D.C., give me a temperature check on ownership.
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. For me, it feels like there's a difference between what could be and what is. And I think after the first year, if they would have came out and was like, this is an example of what could be, and they did, if they would have had this season, I don't know if the stadium would have, shaken loose.
In year one, you mean, Eli?
in year one, if it was reversed, I don't know if all of the things that happened down to, you know, Metro buses in D.C. donning the W, I don't know if that would have gone down and how they got the city to be on board with this type of season. Now, what we do have to do is give them some room, because you just alluded to, you can't make up 30 years of not caring in one, but somehow it seemingly felt like they did, but that still wasn't a sustainable thing. So for me, I'm not in a bad place, but it feels like they are moving in two different ways, like a fork in a road, almost like, and we can't go in two different directions. And it feels like they're putting eggs into, like, this is who we are right now. We're going in and with the tonsil deal, we're ready now. But also it feels like, nah, dude, we should have been like, we went 12-5. This is, oh, everybody, this is what we could be. However, this is what we need to do to sustain that. And I don't know if they really did that correctly. That's the one knock. And I'm curious to see if they can get back that.
Thanks so much for the call. Sorry, we're up against it. I have a number of calls. Like, I one of the things he said, Zabe, reminded me of this. I used to live right by what's now Cap One Arena. It's changed names many times. My buddy and I, a couple buddies actually, we split Wizard season tickets. It was good value. Yeah.
How old were you?
Didn't have any kids yet, so it was early
20s?
30s.
Early 30s.
Yeah, so 2010, 2011, somewhere in there.
And the tickets were not exorbitant.
No, so splitting them was fine. Easy to walk over.
That's great.
I had great
what
seats.
A life.
Seats were awesome. You go in, sit in the last row of the lower bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Easy to get to the bathroom, easy food. You know, I went to 20 games a year, right? I loved it. I had no problem. They were terrible. They thought they were going to be better the following year. I'm not kidding you. They doubled the cost of our season tickets.
Yeah.
And I opted out.
Yeah.
And there was something about that. Had they just kind of done the normal increase,
right,
I'd have kept paying forever.
Boil the frog slowly.
Precisely.
Don't just hit him with a huge increase. I don't know if 11% last year and 10% this coming year, which is what Lavero cited in his column, I don't know if that's on the egregious side of things. I know this. Some of these new stadium teams coming up, this is amazing to me. Apparently, Bills fans who have PSLs are going to see their PSLs wiped out. Same thing in Denver. PSL wiped out.
How about that?
Your personal seat license. In other words, you paid thousands of dollars on top of
the cost of the
tickets. And it's like Darth Vader saying, I've altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it further.
Good Star Wars.
Outrageous that teams do it.
And so my point was, that was such an indignity to me and my buddies. We said, we're not doing that anymore.
Because it was insulting. A 7% increase you might not have noticed.
That's what I wonder about. And there's nothing that fans hate more in general, I think, than when it goes bad and then the bill goes up. That's not anybody's fault. Ownership-wise, that's the business. That's part of the risk. It just always stinks. The timing when it's renewal time is, all right, we're coming down the stretch. Do you want your season tickets again? They lose by 30. Pay 10% more for the same thing. Ah, oh, sorry. Like, that's always tough. That's a no-win situation.
Did fans get anything for Fan Appreciation Day? Did they get a free hot dog at least or something?
I don't know. I couldn't say it. I couldn't speak to it.
I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to give fans something that they can viscerally go, hey, you know what? That was nice. Arthur Blank in Atlanta has the cheapest concession prices in the league.
It's something we talk about all the time.
They're glorious. It's the smartest policy possible.
Just make people feel like it's good value. I want to sneak in. Kevin Arlington, what's up, man? Give me a sort of an ownership temperature check here.
Hey, guys, and welcome back, Zabe. It's awesome to have you.
Thank you, sir.
I've been through trouble. You know, I think the bloom is off the rose. They had to leverage themselves so much to just get the team in the first place. I mean, as the prior caller said, they're so very fortunate that they had the year they did a season ago. That was critical, I'm certain, in getting the RFK situation to where it is now, where we're going to see the team come back to Washington. But they couldn't have done worse damage to themselves than everything that unfolded after the stadium deal in 2025. I mean, it has been, you can't make it up, you know. And now you've got people saying, oh, we got basketball people running this team. You know, what the hell? Why isn't Daniels playing? Or you know, and then you go back to, oh, and remember the reason his elbow's banged up and he's not playing is because they were terrible in their decision-making in the Seattle game. I mean, you could just go error after error after error. I keep bringing this point up. Why is it that the college scouting department run by Tim Gribble and his six area scouts, why are they all pre-Adam Peters people? Is it because of money? Because let's face it, in the Allen and Rivera regimes, they didn't do squat. We have not been known as a team that drafts well. Peters comes in January 24, wants to say, we want to be a draft and develop team. Well, if you do, put your money where your mouth is and go get some real top-of-the-line scouts, because it doesn't appear as you've done so. I mean, there's so many things you can pick away at.
Well, for a draft and develop guy, for a draft and develop guy, he went out and made three trades that cost draft picks. So,
yeah,
what are you?
They're going to draft and develop at some point, but they went veteran win now in the interim.
Yeah, that'll be for future me. Right now, me wants to win now.
Speaking of right now, 5 minutes from right now, Ja'Cory Croskey-Merritt, the People's Running Back, joins us for his weekly spot here on G&D.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.